Gardening with Gavin from Lee Rowan's Garden World.
Yes, we always look forward to this time of the week, and he is online. We have Gav from Lee Rowan's Garden World with us right now. G'day, Gav.
I most certainly am here, yes. I haven't been blown away yet.
I was just about to ask that question, actually. Gee, the winds have been strong just recently, haven't they?
I know, and I said August is the windiest month of the year, and that was just what we're going to expect.
Well, yes. I mean, Saturday on last weekend was probably the worst of the 2 days. I mean, Sunday was fairly windy as well, but, gee, Saturday.
Hideous.
Just about,
absolutely hideous.
It'd just about blow a brown dog off a chain. There you go.
Yes, absolutely. I like that.
You like that saying?
I do.
Now, speaking of the wind, yes. And as you say, I mean, August is generally the time of the year that we would get the winds. It seems now we are getting winds at any time of the year and any months and whatever. We are going to talk about what we can do in the garden this week after the strong winds. So what sort of advice have you got for us?
Okay, well, look, after Saturday, I thought, well, we're bound to get a few more before winter's over, and we really need to talk about staking trees and dealing with broken pieces. So I thought what was the perfect opportunity this week. We've had a lot of people coming in looking for tree wound sealant, and I'll get into that, how to cut limbs off trees, and what to do, how to stake. You know, so many people stake wrong. So let's start this by talking about staking trees. Now, whether you're putting in a new one or whether you need to stake an older one, if that tree's loose in the ground after Saturday, every time you get wind like that, it's going to make it worse. So we need to stake. So whether you use a smaller tree or a smaller shrub, you'd put one in. If need be, with a larger tree in the middle of a lawn, you possibly would put two in, one opposite each other. Now, the most important things is don't, whatever you do, stick it right up against the trunk. And I've seen that done so many times because people forget then that the stake is there, and then the trunk, as the trunk expands and gets bigger, it grows into the stake, and that causes all sorts of problems down the track. So make sure that stake is away from the base of the trunk. It could be, let's say, 200 mil, 250 mil, you know, 6 or 8 to 10 inches away from the trunk. And as I said, if it's a bigger tree and you need to secure it, do it either side and use a type of tie that's not with wire inside. Now, I know back in the day, a lot of people used to use the tie that you tie up your plastic bags with, had the wire through the center of it. Not a crash idea when you've got a trunk that's moving backwards and forwards, grating on that wire. It basically eats into the trunk, and that's never a good idea. So there are so many on the market now that are just a thin piece of cotton, for the want of a better word,
yes,
on a tie. There's one that is called a Jolly Tie, which is a fabulous one. It's a cotton one, so they won't bind into the trunk. They won't cause any damage. They will rot over years because this is only something that you'd have to do until these plants get established. So it's only for younger ones or ones that have been damaged by an unusually bad wind that we're talking about. Leave it on there for maybe 6 months until the tree is better established, and then you can take it all away. The other thing a lot of people do wrong is they'll only put one. Now, I've seen an enormous amount of trees literally break off just above that one. So let's make sure we do one at the base, one in the middle of the stake, and one at the top. So, for example, if you used the good old 6-foot tomato stake, make sure you use one at the top, one in the middle, one at the base, and that will secure it much better and stop it from breaking off. You just don't get that one point where all the pressure's on. The other little thing, always make sure you do your triple H. You need a crossover of the product between the trunk and the stake. Otherwise, again, you run the risk of that trunk and the stake meeting, and in a strong wind, they will grate against each other, and all that lovely bark on that trunk will suddenly disappear. And then, of course, you've got an entry for all your horrible nasties and things like that. So make sure you do that. So that's the most important thing I can tell people at the moment, especially over the next few weeks. If that happens to do that again, definitely, please go about doing that. Now, if you have to cut any branches are broken off, don't leave a stripped branch. So one that's basically broken off and left a big, bad, nasty strip down the side where the bark's gone with it. You want a nice, clean cut. So whenever those things are broken off or still hanging there for that matter, go back a little bit on the stem and do a nice, clean cut. Always a much better idea. Now, if those cuts are any bigger, or those trunks, I should say, are any bigger than about 25, 30 mil, between 1 and 2 inches in the old scale, make sure you put like a tree wound sealant, or there is one called Steriprune, which is in a spray can that you spray on those cut ends to stop, well, as I said, it's a wound sealant. It'll actually seal it, again, to stop any infection getting in that freshly cut end. So very, very important.
Goes to show the logistics. Yeah. I mean, the logistics that you've just been explaining there is amazing. A lot of people would not realize that's really what you need to do. A lot of people would just do exactly what you were saying at the start of the conversation there, that they just throw a stake underneath and that was it. But it goes to show that that's not ideally the thing that you need to do.
There's a little bit more into it than that to do it properly, and it really does make a difference.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. And I really wanted to talk about just a few things that you do at this time of year before the spring comes. So
okay, no worries.
We talked about cutting back our roses. We need to cut back any deciduous trees to shape. Now, that's all you do with deciduous trees is basically cut them to shape. Now, I'm talking crepe myrtles, I'm talking maple trees, anything of the sort like that. While they're bare in winter, you get a good look at the framework, and that's the best time to get that shape right, ready for spring. Now, you can take those things back up to 50% if needed. The only deciduous trees I wouldn't do at this time of year are stone fruits, like anything that actually gets fruit on it, because it fruits on that growth that you're just about to cut off. So the best time to do those, let's say, for example, if somebody had a plum tree or a nectarine or an apricot, always do those straight after fruiting. So that is the best time, if you've got a fruiting deciduous tree, to cut those back. Otherwise, of course, you'll get no fruit the following season. Perennials, you know, things like lavenders, things like salvia, all those English perennial shrubs or, you know, small plants, now is the time to take up to a third or so of those off. Again, when spring hits, then you've got a good shape to start off with. So that's always a good thing to do at this time of year. And a light trim, or as I said, even up to 30%, nearly half the plant can come off. And that will give you a much better shape when spring comes. Because the biggest problem, of course, with perennial plants like lavenders and salvias is, of course, they grow out of shape so quick. And we really don't want that to happen. So we want to start off with a good shape to start with.
Absolutely. It's a bit like you and I. We need to have shape, don't we?
Before summer comes on, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Otherwise, yeah, you really don't want to look at that.
No. We might leave that there then.
So we'll leave that there, yes. The last chance at the moment to plant winter veggies. If you like your broccoli, if you like your beetroot, your spinach, any of the onion family, now is the time to get them in, because in another 2 or 3 weeks, all the summer stuff starts coming in, and we'll talk about that over the next few weeks, getting ready for your summer vegetable garden. But now it's the last week or two to get those in. Liquid fertilize your indoors. Now, indoors, even though they don't grow much through winter because they don't like the cold nights, they do require just to keep them happy and peppy. So a little bit of maybe some seaweed fertilizer, some power feed, one of those good seaweed fertilizers in a watering can once a fortnight will keep them lush and green and get them through till the warm weather when they're really going to take off anyway on their own. Mowing the lawn. There's so many people that don't mow their lawn through winter and then wonder why they've got so many weeds in spring. The best thing you can do is just lightly mow the top off, still every week, every fortnight, however often you want to do it, just to stop those weeds from flowering. The amount of yards I've gone past and they've got big piles of oxalis and all these weeds that are in full flower, and of course those flowers are literally going to blow around and spread all through the rest of the lawn. So the best thing you can do to stop your lawn getting covered in weeds this summer is to make sure you just nip the tops off, and that will take the flowers with them. You may still have to spray for things like bindi and all those things once August comes around and it's the time for spraying your lawn. But in the meantime, you can stop it from getting any worse. And that's what I would do. A very light, maybe the highest setting, just to A, keep it even, and B, stop those things from flowering. Very important. That's something you can do to help yourself later on.
Okay. And there is another thing that I do notice during the winter period too is clover. Tend to get a bit of clover entering your lawns as well.
It grows quick, and it grows faster than what the lawn does. So rather than cut the actual lawn, you're really just trimming off the tops of all that clover to stop it from flowering, in which case then it stops it from seeding, and then in a lot of wind, those seeds just fly everywhere, and then, of course, the next lot of rain, all up they come.
All right, so there you go. If you didn't know that, it's best to try and get to your lawn at least every week or fortnight during the winter period as we get towards the hotter months in summer. I love how you were talking about summer there, because summer is my favourite part of the year, I've got to say, Gav.
Well, it comes around quicker than what you think.
Well, it does, doesn't it? Yeah, the years just go so quick.
Some of these things, some of these things can help you. If you do them now, it can help make things a little bit easier later.
Which is what's called planning, some forward planning there as well, yes.
Yes, and after doing it for over 40 years, you learn to do all that sort of stuff to make things easier for yourself.
You don't even think about it, yeah.
No.
Fair enough. Okay, well, thank you very much for all that wonderful advice, particularly after we've had those windy days last weekend, and we'll probably no doubt get a bit more in the way of wind before we head into spring, I would say.
You can't tell me that that's all we're going to have.
No, I think we're going to get some more. I think you might be right there as well.
Yes.
Now, Lee Rowan's Garden World. Lee Rowan's Garden World at Warners Bay. Where can we find you?
Absolutely. Bottom end of Hillsborough Road, 381 Hillsborough Road. As you come down Hillsborough Road, we're on the right-hand side in the access road. Big two-story building. Can't miss it.
Awesome stuff. And the website, just give it a quick plug before we go.
The website, yes, www.leerowans.com.au. All brand new.
All brand new. Beautiful. Sounds good. Okay. Good to talk to you as always, Gav. And you have a wonderful rest of the week and the weekend. We'll catch up with you next Wednesday.
You too. I shall look forward to it.
There he is, Gav, from Lee Rowan's Garden Worlds. Drop on down and see him too. He's a good man. He'll look after you and he'll have plenty of advice for you. And if you have some questions, if he's got time, he'll certainly give you the time and try and answer those questions you may have as far as your garden is concerned.